All right, I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning from the Word of God. And my lesson is going to be on the love of God. And just so happens, Gary was preaching about something very similar last week, but I promise I won't run down and, or at least walk on the same steps that he walked down. But it is on the same subject, the love of God. And I want to look at a number of scriptures, and of course, probably the most familiar verse to any Christian or people who call themselves Christian in this country and other places is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the United States, among a lot of people who call themselves Christians, there's this idea that God is such a loving God that he won't let anybody be lost. And they anchor that in verses like this. And instead of should not perish, some of them will say shall not perish, but that's not what it says. It says it should not perish. But there are a lot of other verses we need to consider when we're talking about the love of God. God does love the world and the souls of all men. And God is love. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And we just sang a song a few minutes ago in preparing for the Lord's Supper. And in one part of the second verse of number 168, I'll just read it. The last two stanzas of the second verse says, and from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of his glorious love and my unworthiness. And certainly we need to be thinking about the wondrous love that God has for us. A lot of people in the world don't understand how much love God has for the world. They don't have much knowledge about it. And when we are taught God's Word, we find out more about how God loved us and what he did for us. Another verse that we'll look at is 1 John 3, and it's part of what Brother Bob read earlier. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And of course, when we understand more about what it is to be a child of God, then we can comprehend better how great that is that he gave to us the ability to become a child of God, that we could be called children of God. Back in Deuteronomy, God even talked about how much he loved his people. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. So because he loved their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he kept this promise to his people. Years and years, hundreds of years later, God was still going to keep his promise because of the love that he had for their fathers. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 and 8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you know, growing up in the church and going to church for many, many years and hearing a lot of sermons, I don't remember that many passages, but there are more than I thought that talk about how much he loved Israel and the love that he had for his children that he called out. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 and following, But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of it works, lest anyone should boast. Now there are a lot of people in the religious world that use this passage to say, well, God loves us, and if we have faith in him, he's going to save us by grace, and it's not by works, so don't worry about doing any works. They don't say it that way, but that's pretty much what a lot of people practice and teach, is you don't have to worry about doing any works. All you have to do is love God and have faith in him. And truly, God loved us, and we need to love him. 1 John 4:16, which I read earlier, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love. He has shown so much love to us, and I can't even, none of us can do the love of God in justice by speaking in the pulpit. We need to meditate on that and really understand more by looking at God's word and thinking about what he did for us. And one of the things we do is when we come together and remember the love that he gave to us in the form of his son, and we commemorate his death by keeping the Lord's Supper, that is recognizing the love that God's shown for us and remembering it. But, you know, we only do that for a few moments every week. You notice it didn't really take that long to partake of the Lord's Supper. And it might be pretty easy to wait till the last second and, oh yeah, here comes the bread. I need to think about the body. Oh, here comes the cup. I need to remember his blood. But we need to really, as Safe said, and the scripture he read, we need to make sure we partake of it in a worthy manner. That doesn't mean we are worthy to partake of it. That's not what it's talking about. We need to partake of it in a worthy manner. We need to think about the manner in which we remember the Lord's death. Now this kind of puts a wrinkle in what a lot of people believe. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Wait a minute. The love of God? What's commandments got to do with loving God? Keeping commandments. This is a familiar passage, Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? They're always testing Jesus and trying to find out what he would say about their questions. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. The second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there's no other but him, but he. Now pay particular attention to verse 33, please. And the scribe kind of hit it right. He says, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So he understood what the law said and what it was taught, but a lot of the Jewish leaders didn't really understand that love and justice were more important than keeping the other parts of the law. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely in verse 34, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. The greatest commandment of all is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, how easy is it to understand you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart? I think we comprehend that pretty well. But when we add to it, you shall also love the Lord your God with all your soul. And then, add to that, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. And then, even further, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. Let's think about how we can love God more. I know I fail miserably. I need to think about this. I need to love God more. Thinking about loving God with your heart, the love of God is manifested to us through His Son. And so when we think about His Son and what He did for us, our heart is touched by what He did for us. We learn of His love for us, and we also commemorate it after we become Christians by partaking of the Lord's Supper and remembering every first day of the week. And if we believe, we're thankful in our hearts for what He did for us. It should touch our hearts to realize what God has done for each and one, every one of us. God sent Jesus here not just to teach and then to die, but to die for us and to teach us what we need to do to become children of God. And then our hearts are then going to love Him for the love He showed us, if our hearts are right, if we have the kind of hearts we need to have. So loving God from the heart is a response to understanding how much He loved us. Then we're going to feel that feeling because of what He did for us. And we should be grateful. And part of being grateful is returning love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Paul pleaded that the Lord would direct their hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So, that's a matter of growing. And he talks about the heart specifically, directing the heart into the love of God. Now, thinking about obeying, we should obey from the heart. If we just think about obedience, where's the love in that? But Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 says, "And now, Israel," this is what Moses told the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy, "what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Walk in all His ways and to love Him. What does God require of you? Not just to walk in all His ways and not just to serve the Lord your God, but in between there it says, and to love Him. Romans 6, verses 16 to 18. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." Now, speaking of obedience and love, Jesus had a little bit to say about that. In John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." If you love me, keep my commandments, is what Jesus said. I was talking to a friend of mine one day, and I said something about Jesus said this very thing, "If you love me, keep my commandments." They said, "Well, nobody can, you know, keep the commandments perfectly. So we don't even have to worry about that." That's basically what he was saying. I was like, "Don't you realize that Jesus our Lord said that?" Our Lord said that. It wasn't, you know, Peter on the spur of a moment just blurting something out that wasn't inspired. It was our Lord and Savior that said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So keeping God's word and obeying his word is a way of showing love to God. Moses commanded Israel. He says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I commanded you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I commanded you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Moses is saying, keep these commandments which I commanded you to do, and restating it as to love the Lord your God. He's saying in this passage, if you look at it very carefully, keeping those commandments is loving the Lord your God. It's restating what when he says you keep the commandments, keep the statutes. Loving with the soul. You know, our hearts respond when we hear something, we learn about the love of God. But we begin to love God with our soul when we become a child of his. By entering into a spiritual relationship with God through his Son, then we have that spiritual relationship. Our souls are in good standing with God again, for one thing. In John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So becoming a child of God, we are all his offspring, as Paul said in Acts, talking on Mars Hill. But in a spiritual relationship, we become a child of God, as we mentioned earlier, that we could be called children of God. Then we enter into a spiritual relationship with God that we need to be in. Loving with the mind. John 14, verse 15 again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? How do I know what to keep? If I want to love Jesus, and I know I'm supposed to keep his commandments, then okay, I love Jesus, but I don't go and learn what his commandments are, how am I going to keep them? Do I love him enough to find out what he wants me to do? Verse 21 in John 14. He who has my commandments. All right, how do you have his commandments? Is it holding the Bible in your hand? Okay, I've got them. No. Where do you have them? You have them in your heart. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And in verse 23, I emphasize again, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. All right? Again, that's not just holding the Bible in your hand or the New Testament in your hand. We keep it in our hearts because we know it. We know what it is. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Okay? How many people in this world do not keep the words of Jesus? How many haven't even studied it even a little bit? All they know is like, well, there's a church over here, and there's a church over here, and there's God, and there's Jesus. But, you know, I don't really know much about it, but I'm confused because there's so many denominations in this world, and they don't even care enough to even dig in a little bit and find out if they can sort through it all. Loving with your strength. Okay, our hearts are touched when we find out what God did for us. And if our hearts are touched like the people were on the day of Pentecost, when Peter told them that they had crucified the Son of God, says they were pricked in their hearts. But to love with strength, that takes a little time. We have to grow stronger, don't we? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know that verse pretty well too. It's almost as familiar as John 3:16. Christ who strengthens me. How's he going to strengthen me? We're just going to stand there and say, Lord, strengthen me? No. But we might have to work at it a little bit. And we might have to ask for it. We might have to actually pray to God and ask for it to be strengthened. In Acts 15 and verse 32, here's how some people were strengthened. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. Whoa, where'd they get those words? It's the word of God. That's how they were strengthened and exhorted, with many words. And see, Judas and Silas themselves being prophets, okay, that came from the word of God. That came from God. It was revealed to them because they were prophets. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, this is another familiar passage. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. All right, what happens when we grow? Do we get weaker or do we get stronger? I know it doesn't use the word strengthen or get stronger, but how do we grow? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Hopefully we're all trying to grow. And when we grow, we are strengthened. We get stronger. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. All right, so they loved each other, but what does God say about loving each other? If you love Him, you're going to love one another. Love demonstrated. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So loving one another is a way to demonstrate our love for God. Down in verses 20 and 21 of the same chapter, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, and I'll even go so far as to say, and does not love his brother. I think that pretty much is the connotation in this passage. If you do not love your brother like you ought to, is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. When we think about the love of God, we need to first of all realize how much he did love us, and it's evident when we look at his word. And then when we hear that the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might, do we need to work on how much we love him with our heart? Do we need to work on how much we love him with our soul? We need to appreciate the fact that he did something for us. And in loving him with our soul, we need to try to be a spiritual person or a child of his. We want to know what his word is so we can keep his commandments. And in keeping them, we show love back to God. And then with the mind, we need to, I think, comprehend all these things. What he did for us, the fact that he wants us in the future to be with him in heaven. You know, Jesus left the glory of heaven. And when you really think about it, why did he leave the glory of heaven and come to earth? Because he wants us to be able to go where he came from. It's a beautiful place, and we think about what a sacrifice it was for him to leave it. But basically, he came so that he could take us back there with him one day, that we could be there too. God and his Son want us to join them in heaven if we'll only obey and love him and keep his commandments. So there's a lot that we need to understand about loving God, and we can definitely, I would say, need to love Him with more strength. We need to get stronger in that. It's easy to say or read that passage, if you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But when you get down and really think about what's all contained in that one passage about what we need to be doing, I'm lacking. And I'm hoping I can grow in that. And I pray that if there's anybody here who has not realized how much God loves them, and it hasn't touched your heart yet, I hope you'll think about what God did for you and what you need to do in return. I didn't go into Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but that is one of the passages that we think of quite often, that we were pretty much unlovable, and God still loved us. When you think about it, we have a lot of reasons that we need to be loving God. But like the verse that I read earlier, the wonder of God's love and my unworthiness. And then the other song that John led right before the lesson, is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest, for me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed. And then the chorus says, oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I do but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore. If you have not found the love that God has for us and realized it, I hope you'll think about what He has yet remaining for you after you become a child of God. When this life is over, He wants us to be in heaven with Him. We should be like Him, as the one passage that Brother Bob led. When He comes again, we don't understand it completely, but we'll be like Him. And that's a good thing. And we'll be in a place. Can you imagine, have you heard people think about, well, how they could improve this life? All the things like, oh, this life would be better, or this world would be better, or this country would be better if they did this, blah, 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 blah. We got a better place to look forward to than anything we could even come up with, much less implement. We can't implement all we wish we could here. And I hope we don't waste our time trying to worry about making this life better, because we have something better in store. And God's love is what provided that for us. But if anybody needs to come and become a child of God, trust me, if you haven't done so, you need to. God loves you, and He has something better in store for you than you're going to find anywhere else. Not in this particular building or any other congregation, but you look into God's Word, and let's all be striving to only look to God's Word for not only authority, but to really try to understand the love of God. You know, there's a lot of sermons probably every Sunday morning talking about how much God loves people. I mentioned in a lesson one time before about what if the doctor says that he cared for you so much that he didn't want to spoil your day by telling you that you had cancer. Would he be caring? No. I know that's a harsh thing to say, but if I stand up here and I'm pretending to tell you what God's Word is saying, and I don't tell you that unless you obey God's Word that you're lost, then I'm not showing the care for you that I should. If I love my brother, I'm going to tell them when they're lost, not in a mean way, but in a way that shows love and concern. And if you love me, when I'm doing something wrong, you'll come to me. If anybody needs to come forward, won't you do so as we stand and sing?